Hello, podcast listeners. We know podcasts are a great way to catch up on a program that you may have missed on KSJE, and it's provided as a free service of this radio station. But you know, KSJE is now listener-supported, and so while you enjoy this podcast, we hope that you'll also take some time to join KSJE. Become a member today. It's quite easy to do. Just go to our website at ksje.com/support and pick the level of support that best matches your budget. Thanks again for listening. Here's your podcast.
Good morning, everyone. I'm Megan Cullop, along here with Scott Micklin and Scott Duran.
Good morning.
Hello, good morning.
Why is the wrong music playing? Whose fault is that?
I don't know, man.
Whose fault?
Someone should get
Who's controlling
that's,
this?
That's terrible. I'm so sorry. Oops. Anyway, we're back, though, for That's Interesting. It's the That's Interesting show.
My favorite show.
It's That's Interesting.
Yes. Good. Anyway, so welcome.
Welcome.
Good to see you. I haven't seen you in, like, I don't know how many weeks it's been. Probably since last year.
Really? Yes.
So,
well, yeah, because we took the holiday break.
Yeah.
Oh, man.
Right? And then you had this new fancy job that you just had to go to.
Yeah.
I don't understand.
Poor thing
indeed. Yes.
So, but here you are. And we're glad
that
they've given you leave to come here and be part of the show.
It's very, very generous of them to allow me to keep doing Friday shows. So.
Yes. So thank you, San Juan County. We'll do a shout out to San Juan County.
Yes.
There you are.
Thank you, San Juan.
Exactly. So, we're all back, and we welcome our audiences, too. So, thank you all for joining us to be here, and we'll put up the phone number because we would like you to call in and join us on the show because it doesn't really work without you all calling up and sharing whatever is interesting in your world. So, the phone number is 505-566-3909. That's 505-566-3909. Give us a call and let us know anything, really. It's kind of a potpourri of topics, isn't it?
Potpourri.
Yeah.
It really is.
Yeah, I mean, that's a good out. No,
yeah.
Right?
It's good.
We all bring very different topics to the table, usually.
We do.
Different scents, as you would.
Yeah. Essence.
Yeah.
Yes. Different essence.
That's right.
Essence.
So give us a call and join the conversation. And so we talked a little bit about Megan's new position, so that's exciting. That's interesting.
Yeah. I mean,
you're learning a lot.
This is like the first full week, right?
Well, this is the second full week.
Oh, okay, second.
And this morning at 6:30 in the morning, I was with one of my case managers at Total Behavioral Health, the expansion shelter, which is the night shelter for those without homes. And we were, you know, trying to help them out, get them connected. It's, you know, the thing about the Mental Wellness Resource Center is that you might hear it and initially think, you come in and you just give like a phone number or something.
Right.
But they do so much more than that. I mean, it's like holding your hand throughout the process.
Right.
Yeah.
And I'm always amazed because I think that, you know, for folks who are, you know, experiencing homelessness or whatever, and you say, well, just go to this agency and apply and you'll be all set. And easier said than done in many cases, because it's like, well, we need maybe some documents and some of this, and just, you know, fax this over or whatever. And they're like, I don't have a fax machine. I don't know where to go over a fax machine.
Right.
Or my birth certificate or whatever.
Yeah. I mean, a lot of them you have to go to the, you know, courthouse to get the new birth certificate, and our folks will drive them over there, help them through that process. Or there might be just a really long form and some people can't read.
Yeah,
I mean, issues like that. So, I've been really impressed so far by the team, and I'm learning a ton and a lot of things I don't know yet. So it's been quite the experience so far.
Good.
Yeah.
But at least you know that you don't know them. That's a good first step.
Yeah.
That's the key, to be able to say, hey, guys, what the heck's going on here?
Right.
Yeah.
Sure. And you want to know, and you want to learn, and that's what you're doing. So
anyway,
so congrats again. We're really proud of you.
Thank you.
Yeah. And but glad that you're back.
Yes.
Here. So, you know, I'm glad I didn't have to make a phone call to somebody over there at the county.
No, I know.
Because I will, if I have to.
You'll call up Mike Stark, my boss.
Listen, county manager Mike Stark, thank you for everything you do. The end. Goodbye.
Yeah. Yes.
So, anyway.
So, what happened to Megan? I don't know.
Yeah, right. Exactly. Anyway, well, we're glad that you're here.
Thank you.
Obviously. And so, Scott Duran, we're glad that you're here too, of course.
No new job.
I'm glad. I am very glad about that.
Yes.
Because you work here.
Thank goodness you're still here.
Yeah.
No, but talk about things I don't know. I just do the bare minimum on my show, and Scott handles the rest. So
right.
It's not that bad. I just plug it in. That's all I got to do. Just you do most of the heavy lifting for me, actually, nowadays. So I'm like, hey.
Okay.
Eventually, I'm just going to just see it in the cart and be like, all right, check.
It's done. It's ready to go.
She timed it out perfectly.
See? Okay. But there you go. But anyway, it takes a village.
It does. It does take a village. Yesterday, my brain was over.
Well, you were doing a lot of spreadsheet work and stuff.
You saw little squares
in your sleep, you said.
I did. I was starting to see little squares. And it wasn't so much like the visual. I mean, yeah, I've seen the squares was a lot, but the math.
Sure.
But for time, it was like.
You're doing base 60 math.
Yeah.
That's even harder.
So I was like, but this repeatedly for like an hour or two.
Was this for the grant?
Yeah.
Yeah.
For that, for the cap report.
Well, for our royalty stuff. Yeah.
Right. Because you have to list out every song you've played.
For a week.
Uh-huh.
Yes. And then they take that and extrapolate that into the full year, basically, and determine what we pay in royalties for the artists, exactly. Which deserve them. So that's a good thing.
Yes.
And you guys did awesome about giving me the extra bits because, like, again, last year I had to go and do all that stuff on myself. So I had to, like, listen to it and then.
Oh, no. You shouldn't have to do that.
Find the names. Scott was like, there should be an easier way to do this.
Yeah, we need to get the hosts involved here.
I can't think about it right now, Scott. So you go ahead. He's like,
because we have a list of what we do. So.
So
good job. Thank you for that. That's a heavy lift as well. Talk about heavy lifting.
We're almost done. I think I got two more people, and that is it. And,
okay.
We can send that report.
Off we go.
See good. What they say.
Very good. So cool.
Scott?
Yes?
You're still here? Oh, well, you started classes.
I'm still here. Yeah, school started this week, and taught.
How are your students?
So far, so good.
Oh, you know, well, that's good.
It's early in the semester, so everyone's on their best behavior, including me, the teacher.
Right. You got to ask that question.
Now, in May, maybe different story.
Yeah, May is when everybody starts falling off the cliff.
Freaking out a little bit. But I always try to explain to my students, and I send them an email before every semester starts, and I said, you know, no matter what happens, communication is really important. And if you stop communicating with me, you know, my options to help you are limited. Because if I reach out to you and say, hey, where is this assignment, or why are you late on some of these things, and you don't reply, and I can't reach you, I'm kind of stuck as your teacher. I just have to give you a zero and move on.
Right.
But if I know something's going on in your world, we maybe have some other options. So I try to at least explain that to them right from day one.
Well, you're a very generous professor because you chase them down, too, if they're late.
Sure. I think that's important.
Yes.
Yeah, right.
Literally, ladies and gentlemen, he runs down in the hallway.
Well, I try to literally chase them down.
Drive to their houses.
Exactly. But, but the college cares, too, and there's people here at the college which will help reach out if I can't reach them as well. So maybe a third party, they feel better talking to them too. So
that's very true.
It's a good thing. So so far so good. We'll just see how the semester goes, but I'm looking forward to it.
Yeah.
Hopefully they are too. We'll see.
Well, public speaking, I always thought was a fun class, but that's because I like it. A lot of students are scared.
We can't tell. We can't tell that you like public speaking.
Yeah. A lot of students are very scared.
You need to come out
of
your shell a little bit.
Yeah.
As you sit here in a booth.
Public speaking.
In the studio.
Co-hosting a radio show.
Yes.
But, I think, and, you know, it's funny because a lot of times the majority of students will tell me that they just don't like the idea of public speaking. But this year, I have more students than usual that actually said, yeah, I'm looking forward to this, or I like getting up in front of people.
Oh, that's
so
great.
That's kind of rare.
Oh. That is rare.
So that was kind of new.
Because what's that statistic that people are more afraid of public speaking than death?
Yeah, pretty much.
Oh,
yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, right. I know. So that makes you feel really good.
Yeah.
But, you know, this year's a little different.
Dealing with a lot of death anxiety in class.
Right, exactly. Hopefully not. But anyway, so that's what's going on with me this week.
Well, that's a lot.
It is.
To add to your plate.
Yeah, but it's fun. So looking forward to it.
Nice.
No, I don't even. And next month, in mid-February, I will be a small part at the Civic Center in
Newsies
Junior.
Oh, what's your role?
I am Governor Teddy Roosevelt.
Oh, you keep getting cast as Teddy Roosevelt.
No, that was at Franklin Roosevelt.
That was Franklin.
But I keep getting typecast as Roosevelt, so I'm not sure what that's all about.
When you wear the suit,
it looks
like you're a president.
Oh, I see.
I swear. Okay. And then when you put the little pin, oh, forget it.
Oh, all right. The little pin, that just does it.
Like, you look like every other president when they take their office picture, man.
I'm really nervous, though. I don't want to be, you know, the one adult that screws up the whole show with all the little kids, because it's all really about the kids, Newsies Junior show. And so when they asked me, and I said, are you sure?
Dun, dun, dun.
So, yeah, we'll see. But it should be fun.
I think
there's three performances in February. I don't think I'm singing.
No?
I don't think I need to do that. No.
All right.
Well, we know what your singing is.
Yeah.
It's talking. It's sustained talking.
Thank you. That's right. What's wrong with that?
Nothing. It worked. Okay. It worked really well.
Thank you.
And I feel like that's what FDR would do.
Don't you think?
Yeah.
And Teddy?
And Teddy.
You know, with a couple of bullies thrown in.
Yeah, I was going to say, Teddy's wild.
Yeah.
Yeah, I was like, when he said Teddy, I was like, I don't think, you're way too tall for that role, but at the same time, you're too fit for that role, and then you're not as crazy as he is.
Start growing the mustache.
Oh, that would be amazing.
Get ready to go.
Yeah. You don't want to go find box of Barry.
And find my big stick.
That would be amazing.
Right. Just remember to walk softly.
I'm sure they'll tell me what I need to do for the role. But
probably.
But anyway, it's exciting. So I appreciate being asked to be a part of it, and I'm looking forward to it.
Yeah.
So there you go. Let's talk about what else we've brought to the table this week. Oh,
who's going first?
We can go with mine because mine's kind of short, the first
part. Okay, all right. What do you got?
So, I don't know if you remember what I told you about the two galaxies colliding.
Oh, did you tell us about the two galaxies colliding?
I did a while back. So, we actually have a picture so people can actually see
what we've done show prep today.
Looks like.
Whoa.
This is from NASA, right?
You can actually see the two that are. They call it a big merge, but it's basically two of those galaxies colliding.
So is it the little like round thing and then the little flatter thing?
Yes.
Those are the two galaxies that we're looking at over kind of on the right hand side?
Yes. There you go. Thank you. As you're looking at the right hand side, yes.
Okay.
It looks like it's going to swirl into each other, but actually what eventually it is, it's going to turn in and then collide to each other.
All right.
They call it a merge, but it's basically two of the galaxies colliding together. The one that you see that looks like a little swivel, not so much of a flat surface, the actual twist, is the GC640 galaxy. And then the big flat one is the LDA5964-2 galaxy is what they named it. But there's no real like, this is, you know, the purple Milky Way or whatever. You know, there's no cool names. It's just that's what the names is. But yeah, you can actually see them colliding. Now, the thing is that they're trying to see if it's going to create the actual, like, another set of, like, a black hole or something like that.
Yeah.
Or if it's just going to coexist with each other. You know, things will probably be destroyed inside the galaxy, they assume. But might just coexist after a while. They just might just become a bigger expanse of each other's galaxy.
Interesting.
But who knows?
Now, wait, that's not our galaxy merging.
That's not ours. No, calm down. These are light years away.
I was going to say, these are way out space.
This is taken by the Hubble telescope.
And I think it happens not necessarily regularly, but it's not necessarily a rare occurrence, or is it? To have two galaxies merging, colliding.
We've known about a few of them that have, but we haven't been able to see them. They're way out there.
Because of the telescopes now that we are.
Yeah.
That's where this image is from, obviously.
Yeah, that's from the Hubble telescope. This is the closest one that we can see and actually get pictures of, is what they're pretty much saying now.
Okay.
So that's why it's so exciting for people in science, because they're going to actually see what happens when two galaxies collide to each other.
Right.
Does it create the whole theory of a black hole and all that other stuff, or does it destroy one galaxy and the other one survives, or do they just, like I said, coexist? And what I mean by coexisting is that, again, planets or other things that are inside are going to get destroyed, but there's no black hole. They kind of merge into another form of a galaxy and kind
of
look
a bunch of asteroids or something.
Yeah,
bits
of
planets.
Make new planets as they kind of do their whole thing. So we'll see what happens. It's an exciting time.
And of course,
see.
I guess this is my lack of astronomy knowledge, but the galaxies, they are rotating around a star at the center like ours does.
Yes, and you can actually see them
on
the picture. Yeah.
So what will the two stars do? I guess
that's the theory of
when they merge,
if they collide to each other, is it going to create that whole black hole system?
Yeah.
You know, two big powerhouses.
So we have a front row seat, kind of.
Basically, yeah. That's, you know, they're seeing
two black holes. Is that what you just said?
No, one.
One. Okay.
Sorry, just
two
one.
Stars.
Two stars colliding make
collide.
One.
Oh, two stars colliding make one black hole.
Yeah.
That's scary. Black holes are scary.
Yeah.
Yeah. They definitely are. And we found one, and we're trying to see what happens with it.
Did you ever see Event Horizon?
Yeah.
Messed up movie. Did you ever see it?
I don't think so. Not yet.
They go through a black hole, and it's hell.
Yeah.
Yeah, and oh man, it's quite something.
Interesting.
It's worth a watch, but because it's like a cult classic, but it's quite something.
Okay.
Scared me.
Yeah. The one movie that I found really fascinating was Interstellar.
Oh, my gosh. One. So good.
Right? A little bit. I don't think there was black holes in that movie, as I recall, but it was a lot about space travel and time changes and things like that, which is really kind of interesting.
That's where the same thing kind of leads with Megan's, the idea of traveling. That's how they went from one galaxy to the other, because there was a black hole in Interstellar.
Right.
So that's how they traveled from one to the other. So.
Well, and that's ultimately a movie about love, which is what's really touching about it.
Mm-hmm. Oh.
Yeah.
Okay.
Love between the father and the daughter.
Right. And finding new love.
Yes. Because
that's what he does with the main lady, which is Anne Hathaway or something like that.
Yes.
Yeah.
See? Okay.
So,
well,
again,
there you go.
It's just interesting to see what happens. Again, we get a front row seat of all that.
Galaxies merging. Okay. Thank you, NASA. Thank you, Scott, for bringing
that
to the show. So. Very cool.
Yeah.
Very cool.
All right. Cool. Megan Collup, what did you bring today?
The history of barcodes.
All right. Some of us are old enough to remember life before the barcode. Yeah.
Right. So back then, you had to obviously manually type everything in.
Yeah. The prices of things.
There was also no way to classify things, right? So the barcode now, you can say like, oh, it's an orange Gatorade, or it's a lemon lime Gatorade, or it's a honey nut Cheerio, or it's a regular Cheerio, right? So barcodes came out in the 70s. So the theory is that what they created was the mega stores. It led to the creation of the Costco's and the Walmart, because you no longer had to type things in manually. You could scan a massive amount of goods and keep your inventory that way. So in a sense, barcodes increased consumerism, brought consumerism to a new level.
Okay. Well, I guess you could keep track of inventories easier, knowing how many items were sold at the end of the day. You say, oh, wow, we're getting low on milk or whatever.
Right. So big box stores were able to thrive as opposed to – so it kind of led to the decline of mom and pop stores, the barcode did. Now – they're saying that a QR code is probably going to be the next step. That barcodes are probably going to be phased out.
Right.
But then there's a lot of fear. So you say you're looking for jeans and you scan the QR code at the store, a pair of Levi's or something, and then you figure out like, oh, they're too expensive for me right now. Well, now Levi's has your information.
Oh.
So you can 2 days later get an email that says, oh, you have a 15% off coupon.
Oh.
So it might help in that sense. You might be able to get better deals or something.
Yeah.
But your soul is basically owned by this product now. Right. Like they,
You know, you just keep
before you know it, they send you a catalog in the mail 4 days later or something.
Interesting. Right.
Which is what we see happening on, you know, Facebook tailors ads. Sometimes they're totally wrong ads. Like sometimes you're like, this doesn't really apply to me.
Right.
Thank
How'd
you.
They get that?
But then like based on your likes on your posts and your other search history.
Right.
Right. That's that's what cookies are.
Yeah.
You ever see the accept all cookies thing on
the website? The computer, of course.
Yeah. So that's where they get all that information.
Right.
And it's kind of scary. I don't know if you ever had the experience of like talking about a product and then later and on Instagram, it pops up.
Of course.
even
the world
though
we live in.
Even though your Siri's not activated, and you're like,
how?
By the way, did you know Siri is activated now?
Even if you don't activate it?
Yeah.
Then that explains it.
Great. A little bit, yeah.
Thanks for creeping us out.
That's
before you had
creepy.
To like go and activate it. I didn't have it on my phone, but the new update allows you to just say Siri and it pops up.
Well, let me tell you something. So, so I think gather around, children, for a fireside chat. I think that
Auntie Megan has something to say.
So I think this also boils down to this issue of, would I rather have privacy or would I rather have convenience?
Well, right.
Right.
That's a lot about modern life, I think.
Yeah. And for me, convenience is king.
Yeah.
So go for convenience, even though in interpersonal relationships, I tend to be pretty private. Convenience is like, up here, I'll pay for convenience. You know, this is why people do DoorDash and things like that. They'll pay an extra $10 to have the food come to them.
Right,
right.
You know, so we've really created an environment where everything's personalized. I mean, you go to the gas station and they ask you how your experience was, which I think is really weird.
Yeah.
Like,
a survey.
Yeah, a survey at the gas station. I mean, it's just quite interesting how personalized our experience has become.
I mean, even on that front, did you see, was it Circle K in Flor Vista? They have the self-checkout now. Yeah. So that way you don't even have to talk to the cashier.
Yes, you don't have to talk to the cashier.
No, just there you go.
Right. So you can even make it more self-personal and just be like, no.
Yeah. Well, I think, you know, for things like social media, you know, we give up a lot of our privacy because we want the convenience, I guess, of Facebook or Instagram or TikTok or whatever to connect us with our friends or family or followers or whatever it is. And so we accept those terms and conditions and say, yeah, I'll give up such privacy to be a part of this community online.
Yes.
Right?
It's pretty... Yeah.
It's a pretty insane concept, like you said. Now, I also wondered if the whole thing of accepting the idea of convenience or privacy is because of the way we grew up.
Sure.
Because,
I mean,
we're not that far in age difference where I remember when they started introducing a lot of like the technology into the classrooms and allowing such an convenience way for kids to kind of study, as they say. And then all of a sudden it was easier to access at your house. You know what I mean? You went from the whole dial-up that took forever and, you know, all that other stuff to like a faster internet.
Yeah. So smartphones came out when I was in graduate school. So, which I'm so thankful for because as a high school girl on social media, that would have been a problem.
Right.
I think.
Yeah.
Because, you know, you don't have any impulse control. You're just, as a high schooler, you're just thrown out. Whatever out there, and then it's on record out there.
Yeah.
Right.
So, and I mean, in high school, obviously there was the internet, but we still were required to use books on book reports and things like that. We weren't allowed to use the internet to research in high school, and it could have just been my high school.
See,
but
when I was in high school, you could, as long as it was
a reputable source.
It was a reputable source. They allowed, like you said, like Wikipedia, as long as you provided the source after Wikipedia.
Yeah, don't use Wikipedia.
Yeah, but back then, you know what I mean? We all thought that was a great spot to get information from because everybody put it already there for you, right?
Right.
Before we realized that you can edit yourself and all that stuff,
right.
And then you found out you could edit yourself, so then you're in high school, like.
True.
Messing with it.
Yeah, messing with it instead of doing your own research.
Very true.
But yeah, that whole idea of convenience, we grew up on that whole, like,
yeah.
As years went by, the more and more things became more convenient. But we were already kind of not, I don't want to say is conditioned the right way to say it.
I think so.
But yeah, conditioned to be in that whole state.
Yeah, I think so. Yeah. And whether or not the conditioning was like purposeful or not, you become conditioned to what you know. And, you know, now it's like, if you don't get back to somebody's email within 24 hours, you're offending somebody.
That's right.
Because you have it on your phone now. What's your excuse?
Exactly.
Yeah.
That's true.
It's like sending a text.
Very true.
Yes, right.
So to get back to your original point, then with the addition of these QR codes and not barcodes, these companies will get more information about the user, about us, I guess.
Right.
And, you know, but it seems like even today when you're going to the grocery store, if you're using the discount card or your account with Smith's or Safeway or whatever it is, and you scan that card, they link all those products that you're buying to your account, and so they could send you coupons or whatever anyway,
or
even
if you
today.
Or you do pickup, which I do pickup. It's convenient because they know that I buy, you know, Special K all the time, so it comes up immediately. And it's like, do I really care that they know that I buy Special K all the time? Not so much, but do I care about my ideas being out there and stolen by companies that's a little different.
That is.
And then I went to this conference this week, and one of the sessions was on AI, and it was really cool because this guy was like he was a computer scientist, and so he was part of all.
Was he real or was he just
AI?
Yeah.
Was he just a hologram?
That's right.
But he was talking about this new thing where you can clone voices.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And how there's like all these scam calls where somebody will call like a grandfather and pretend to be the son. And say, I'm in jail. I need this much bail money.
And the voice sounds like the grandson.
Sounds just like the grandson.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's scary.
And all you need, I think, is a small maybe sentence or two of the voice to be able to capture it and scam it into saying almost anything that you want them to say. That's the other scary part, right?
That's really scary.
Yeah. It is.
Yikes.
It takes all the fun out of it, though.
Yeah, and you just wonder in the political climate how that's going to play out. Or are they going to pretend to be Joe Biden?
Or Scott Micklin.
Or Scott Micklin.
Who's not running for anything, but thank you.
President Pro Tem.
Right.
Nothing.
Yeah. Yeah, it is scary. I think it is. And, you know, and that's the thing with some of this new technology. If we don't use it responsibly, like AI too, right. You know, I think we could get into trouble.
Right.
Very quick, very fast.
Yeah.
So we'll see what scary. Happens.
Yeah.
Okay. Interesting. All right. Well, I brought one thing.
Yay.
I brought one thing to one other thing, I guess, additional thing to talk about today. That was a story about Skeleton Lake.
Where is that at?
India.
Oh.
Yeah.
Are there a lot of skeletons in it?
Yes, there are.
Oh, ooh.
It's bone dry.
Thus the name.
It's bone dry.
Thank you, Scott Duran. Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
Oh, but it is kind of bone dry. That's very...
Well, because it's in the mountains in India, and only about a month of the year does the snow melt that you can actually see the lake and the lake shore that we are showing here. And they have discovered... Let me pull up my notes here because I know I'd forget the specifics about it. But it is a high-altitude glacial lake in India, and one of the... things that makes it known as Skeleton Lake is because they have found human skeletons around the edge of the lake. And it's visible when the snow melts, and they believe that they were members of a single group that were killed in a sudden hailstorm in the 9th century.
Wow.
Oh, a single group.
And because the lake is so inaccessible, they just left the bodies, I guess, you know, up there.
Wow.
After they were killed in this really severe hailstorm, and they had no shelter that's up in the mountains.
Wow.
So it's called Skeleton Lake. Not to bum the whole crowd out here on a Friday morning, but I just thought it was fascinating.
That is fascinating.
And that these bones have been up there for how many years? How many thousands of years?
Wow.
Right.
A lot.
And they're still, like, preserved after thousands of years. I mean, I guess...
Well, I think they've been moved around a little bit or whatever, and you know, but they're up. They're still there. They haven't been, you know, removed.
That's nutter.
Yeah,
it's
like, but yeah, so it what is. It?
Yeah,
Skeleton Lake.
That's good. And what mountain is this? The Himalayas.
Himalayas, yes, in India.
Go figure, man. That whole mountain.
Yeah.
The Himalayan mountains. Why do people want to go there so much?
Part of where. It's a mountain range, so it's part of that, I believe. It's it's located in the Himalayas. It's uninhabited, about 16,400 feet. Tall. That's the altitude, so it's up there.
Yeah,
pretty tall.
Mm. Well, Everest is part of that set, isn't it?
I believe so.
Yeah.
Makes
sense.
So
just saying.
Yeah. So
I think there's also bodies at Everest that
there's a whole bunch.
Oh, there are.
That they never recovered. Or something like that.
Yeah. Right.
Could you imagine trying to climb it and you're just passing these dead bodies the whole way?
Yeah. Well, you do. But yeah, and they're like kind of they're almost like landmarks. I think now they're like, you know, you got to go left when you pass the green parka. You know, it's kind of weird, but that's how they do it.
So weird.
You know? Yeah.
Take a ride on Bob.
Yeah, it's a little strange, but
that's crazy. Well, anyway. to add to your story.
All right.
Because it'll make you laugh about my ignorance. For my best friend's bachelor party.
Okay.
We didn't do anything crazy.
All right.
Not to like that. All right. But one of the things that he loves to do was to go fishing.
You know this is on the radio, right?
It is.
Okay.
I'm going to embarrass myself pretty badly.
All right.
To go fishing.
We're
going to
go fishing, right? Because we haven't been for like a past year or two at the time.
All right.
And again, it's one of his favorite things to do. And I was like, well, we're going somewhere out in Arizona. So we're going by, and I'm, again, the best man. So I'm in charge of planning it. And I'm like, I got to find a lake. So I find this one particular lake.
Okay.
And it's correctly named. It's called Dry Lake.
Oh, in Arizona.
In Arizona.
All righty.
So I'm like, okay, but it says it's a lake. So I'm like, perfect. It's on our way. It's close to where we're staying at. We can hit the lake, all that stuff, and go fishing one day.
Yeah.
Perfect.
What could go wrong?
So we're driving by, and I keep telling my other best friend, Adrian, which you guys have met on the hike.
Sure.
It's coming up on our right. It's on our right-hand side. Just keep an eye on it
so we
can
see
what it looks like and how we get there, all that other stuff,
mm-hmm.
Blah, blah, blah. So we're keep going. I'm like, it's up on your right. It's up on the right. It's coming. And then we get past it, and we looked over to our right, and it's just dirt.
Oh.
And it's like just – you could tell there was once water,
uh-huh.
but it's all dried up and cracked up.
Oh.
It's because it's a reservoir.
Oh.
It collects water every once in a while, and they just named it Dry Lake because it dries up because there's no point of keeping it there.
Okay.
So I was like, oh, that's awesome. That's
Bummer.
Perfect.
Bummer.
Oh, man.
Dang it.
That's too good.
Yeah.
Oh, so, and like those people in the Himalayas.
Wow. So what did you end up finding another lake to go fishing
we
in
found
at least?
Another lake.
The end of the story.
Yeah, no, we ended up finding another lake. Once we got there, we kind of got settled in. Me and my buddy Adrian kind of looked up on the internet, and we found one that's a little bit further out, but we found a bigger lake.
Maybe that's good.
Lake Powell or something.
No. Okay. We weren't that far off.
A little bigger. Okay.
Yeah.
Well, good for you. But yeah, that's interesting. There's a lot of those around the West. Bless you.
Yeah. With the name, I should have thought of it. Like, hey, why would they name a lake Dry Lake? And why would you want to go to a place called Dry Lake?
Right.
Yeah.
Well.
Now you know.
Now I know.
Now you know.
Now I never to go to the Himalayas to Skeleton Lake.
And don't go there
go
either.
To Dry Lake.
Yeah.
And never climb Everest.
No. Exactly. I don't have any really desire to do that.
No, I mean, I don't even like climbing. I've taken youth kids to, like, rock walls.
Yeah.
I mean, I get, like, 3 feet above the ground, and I start freaking out. I'm like, because when you add 5'7" to 3 feet, all of a sudden your head is 8'7"
above
the ground.
I don't mind that. But
then you think about, like, when you're climbing Everest, and it's like, yeah, you're going to be doing stuff like that, kind of, and then you're going to be hiking forever, thin oxygen.
Yeah.
And you have to have a mask, all that other stuff, the weather conditions on top of that, you know what I mean? It's like, I don't wanna.
Yeah.
When I was a kid, I thought about it, you know, I'd be like, oh, you know, that'd be so cool when you watch the movies and the television shows.
Right.
And stuff. I want to climb Everest. And then as I got older, I was like,
yeah, not so much.
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. I hear you.
It's like skydiving.
I hear you. Oh, well. Okay. On that note, I think.
Oh,
we're out of time.
Oh, well, that was fun.
For another week, everyone.
We
I know, wasn't it?
On that one, didn't we?
Exactly. We really did. It was a great great conversation. Yeah. We were all over the place yet again. Yeah. And that's what the show's all about. You know?
Skeletons, galaxies, barcodes.
Yeah. It is it's the name of the show. It's that interesting. So, you know, that's what we do every so often here on KSJE. And so we thank you guys for listening and watching the program. But we do hope that eventually you will call in and let us know what you think. We'll be back next week with a Solutions from the Street program. Megan and I will be here. Mm-hmm. And we'll have another great guest.
Yes.
As soon as we figure out who it is.
Who it is.
Yeah, exactly. We'll talk about that later. So don't want to show that because there's no weather impacts today. But there were. There might be next week because we have snow in the forecast for Sunday night. We'll have to see.
We'll have to see.
What that means. But I'm trying to get to the page that talks about how people can send us ideas for solutions from the street.
Yes.
There it is.
There it is. So if you have an idea, then just drop us a line at ksje@sanjuancollege.edu.
There you go.
Easy enough to remember.
That's right.
Easy.
Shoot us an idea and we will reach out and maybe have that person or solution on the future show.
Yes.
You never know. There you are. Reinder, we're here on the first, third, and fifth Fridays with That's Interesting. So that's why we're here today, because this is the third Friday of the month of January already.
Yes.
Can you believe it?
It's crazy. No, I can't believe it.
And next week it'll be the fourth Friday, so we're here with Solutions from the Street. Tomorrow, Megan is back with her radio show with
Radio
music.
Free Saturday Morning, the eclectic music mix to start your weekend. 9 to 11 a.m. every Saturday morning. On KSJE, of course, and tomorrow's each week I take a theme and I curate songs within that theme, and I've been doing it since 2019, so it's...
How is that possible?
I know, how is that possible?
I think it's like your five-year anniversary coming up.
I know, isn't that crazy?
How about that? I didn't even get you a watch or something.
Yeah.
I don't know what we need to give you.
It's like, it's wood or something,
it's
right?
It's a Tootsie Roll.
Yeah. and so tomorrow's theme is unusual time signatures.
Yes.
So you will hear songs in like...
Oh.
Yeah, we're used to hearing songs in like 4/4 time.
Okay. All right.
But these songs are in like 5/7 time, 7/8 time. So you'll hear like just a different sound than you're used to hearing.
Interesting. Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. All right.
Yeah.
So clap along and enjoy.
Try to clap along.
Right.
Good luck.
Yeah.
You know, shout out to all the drummers on these songs.
I was about to
say,
drummers are going to love this.
Yeah.
Yeah, drummers will find this very
2 hours
cool.
of music.
Yeah.
So
that
this
category.
Show is just really for the drummers.
Yeah. This almost. Shout out to all the drummers. You'll love this show. So.
Okay. Cool.
Yeah.
Very good. Well, that's tomorrow morning, beginning at 9 o'clock.
That's right.
Okay. 9 to 11, right here on KSJE. Scott Duran. You have your show that immediately follows Radio Free Saturday Morning.
Yes, World Beat follows right after that from 11 to 12. And we're going to be diving into a fusion jazz set. We're listening to two different albums. One by is Alfonso Monze, his Mind Transplant album, and the other one is by John McLaughlin's Black Light album from his band Fourth Dimension.
Okay.
Fourth Dimension.
Yeah.
Wow.
So they're both fusing jazz, have a lot of...
I wonder what Cubano colliding galaxy that's from.
It. Yeah, exactly. Speaking of colliding galaxies.
Full circle.
So we're going to be listening to both those albums. They cover up the full hour, so...
Okay.
That's cool.
Thanks. Yeah. All right. That's well, there cool. you go. We figured out your Saturday morning, everybody.
Yeah.
Look at that. Exactly.
Just put it on in the background while you're cleaning or making breakfast
yeah,
or whatever.
Yeah, exactly. There, Scott.
That was fair.
Yeah. Thought he disappeared for a minute. Yeah. Where did he go? Scott. He was here just a minute ago, but now he's back.
And paging. I'm out. Paging Scott.
That's right. All right. Very good. Well, thank you both for being here. Thanks. Always great to catch up with everybody and with you too, audience. So thank you for tuning in. And we hope you'll join us next time right here with our That's Interesting program on KSJE. Have a great, safe weekend. We'll see you next week right here. Bye-bye. Did you enjoy that podcast? We hope that you did. And if you did, share it with your friends. And if you really want to keep podcasts like this coming, please support KSJE. You can do it easily online at ksje.com.